listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen in northern British Columbia here, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Inn and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are a viewer-supported station, guys, so I always start my show with a little pitch out for the stations. Anything you can possibly contribute towards them, I know they would greatly appreciate it. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to, that these people put in to bring this to make this possible for us. So if you can help them out a little bit, we'd sure appreciate it. I'm joined today. Well, originally I had a gentleman that was going to join me, a real Canadian, well, a Canadian patriot. I'll call him a Canadian patriot because he is. But he's stuck on an airplane, and because he went to a rally in Toronto to support another Canadian patriot that was persecuted by the police in Toronto, he's not able to join me. And I talked to Wayne Evans, another really good friend of mine today, and he said, Barry, you got to get Jay Riddell on. So it's my pleasure to be joined by Mr. Jay Riddell, who is now a mayor in his little town in Saskatchewan. I'm going to let Jay tell you a little bit about himself, and welcome to the show, Jay.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'll just kind of give you a background of how I got all into this situation. And I guess it started years back, like all of us. I've always wondered what's been going on behind the scenes in the world and the government. And, you know, as we've grown up in the last how many years now, we've realized that there's more going on than we really knew. And so it kind of got me into being an activist a little bit. And where I live in southern Saskatchewan here, we have two coal-fired power plants and, of course, the oil field here. So our town's always basically been, you know, involved with all the different resources. We've created so much employment here through the years that it's now with all the government restrictions, it's basically they're trying to pull all this out from under us. So everybody's in a world of hurt. And of course, it's only been getting worse and worse. So as it stands, you know, I've worked in out of the oil field and through the mines directly. And to see this all, you know, pulled out from under us and see people losing their livelihoods and the prices of housing dropping and people moving and throughout this. And I decided I was sick of seeing, you know, how things are going, and I knew I had to do something. So I guess it would have been back in 2018 there when we first seen all the yellow vest movements happening over in France and stuff. And, you know, I thought of, you know, that's kind of a good way we maybe need to start doing this in Canada, because Canada's always been a sleepy little country. You know, we just, we're always please and thank you and sorry and sorry and sorry. And, you know, we got to start standing up for ourselves now. And seeing how France was with the yellow vests, and, you know, people didn't really understand what it was in the beginning. And the yellow vest movement basically started because in France and a lot of Europe countries there, you're required to wear or have a yellow vest in your vehicle in a sign of distress. So if you break down the highway, you put your yellow vest on. And I thought, well, that's absolutely what Canada is in right now, along with a lot of the world, is we're in distress. So that's kind of how it adopted into Canada. So back in 2018, December there, I heard had the first rally in our town, like Estevan's, you know, as much resources are here, you know, it's a small town, 12,000, 13,000 people here. but resource rich. So people would come from Newfoundland, they'd come from Alberta, they'd come from everywhere in Canada to work when they didn't have anything going on. So basically we had a rally in Estevan, and that stemmed into, I started seeing some of these truck convoy protests in Alberta were just starting, and I decided to have one here. So December 20th, 2018, I had a convoy. We had 427 trucks roll through this little town.
Wow.
And it was freezing cold and the snow was blowing. And, you know, to see that everybody that joined in with all these oil field trucks and crew trucks and everything, it was just overwhelming to see the support. We had no idea how huge it was affecting everybody. So, and then from there, I got a hold of Glenn Carrot, who did the United We Roll convoy for Canada. He was organizing that back in around that time, December, January. So I got in contact with him. So then I decided that I would get involved in it. So I put the Saskatchewan contingent of trucks into that convoy. And we all went to Ottawa and basically banged on Justin Trudeau's door. But we knew he wasn't going to be there because of the coward that he is. He won't come out to actually talk to the people. And yeah, it was huge. It was a big thing. So getting involved in that's really taken me, you know, steps into where I'm at now. So,
well, if anything, the convoys did raise some public attention, just like the march in Toronto yesterday. I believe reports I got in the march itself, I believe there was up to 5,000 people in the march, and it incorporated about 5 kilometers of Toronto streets yesterday. But not one word about it on CBC or CTV. What a travesty in our society that we're living in that state of communism now, where the amount of censorship we see coming right now is beyond communist. It's full-blown fascist combination of communism and fascism and corporatism in our face. And boy, just the fact that none of these things are getting any public attention on CBC or CTV really goes to show you how far our country's gone, doesn't it, buddy?
The first problem is, you know, when back in the 70s, 80s, when we were all younger and kids and stuff, I mean, the media, the mainstream media and everything, they funded themselves with commercials and sponsors and everything else. Somewhere along the way, they started getting these handouts from the governments. So, you know, they had their $600 million that the Liberal government basically gave to CBC and CTV and all of them. So exactly when the boss is giving you the money, who are you going to talk about, you know? So they cater to everything that the liberal media, that the liberals want, you know. Anytime, like I had lots of dealings with them, like after the convoy, we actually went back across and started doing town halls. So we would we'd do investigative reports where we'd go out to Alberta. You know, we'd film the devastation of all the oil field equipment parked in the yards and rusting and basically worthless. And we'd gather this information. And then we started going back to Ontario to show people out in the east, because, again, there's your media. They don't tell nobody nothing about what's going on in the west. They kind of divided us. And that's been the division in Canada has been between the government and the media. It's definitely not been the people. So when we showed them all this stuff in Ontario and Quebec and everything else, and I made people understand why we're hurting so bad out here, they started to open their eyes and realize, holy crap, you know, we're definitely all hurting, but we didn't realize how bad it was because everything is suppressed so bad, and that's the fault of the media.
Yeah, the media is our biggest enemy in this country, and boy, do they ever need to get called out, folks. What they're doing right now in Canada, they should be taken out and hung for. And I know this call is being monitored right now, so you guys over at Skype, that might have caused a little bit of a spike, but I'm telling you the truth that right now the biggest enemy we have in this country is the media. The same thing can be said about the United States. The same thing can be said about anywhere in the world right now, where all media is being controlled by a very small, evil group of individuals that have no interest in our freedoms. And what we're seeing right now in Canada, it's boggling my mind, buddy, but it's not. We knew that this time was coming. Anybody that's really been studying the playbook here for the last 10 years or 8 years or 20 years of their lives know that this time was coming that we're in right now, that there was going to come a time when they were going to completely throw society upside down. And the mechanism We've talked about that on many shows, whether they were going to use economy as a mechanism or what we see right now, a global pandemic. This is the biggest scam ever played on the human race, folks. And the numbers that come out in Canada now really are people starting to pay attention to numbers, because we deal with so many people in society that are sheeple, that just don't want to believe that the government would ever do something wrong. So the approach we're using now with a lot of people is strictly numbers that come from government websites. And the numbers speak for themselves, especially in the last report released in Canada here. Jay, you saw the numbers. We know that these deaths, that 98% of all these deaths attributed to COVID-19, this scamdemic since it started in March, are people between 70 and 80 years of age. Under 60 years of age, the numbers right from the government are 166 people died under the age of 60 in Canada since this whole shabakal started. So what are we doing, Jay?
We're not at pandemic numbers by any means, but
not even like close. Not even close. You know, but the word pandemic strikes fear into your heart, doesn't it?
Go ahead. it's like I said, you know, like I go back to the very first beginnings of this in Wuhan, China. Remember the images we seen when that first started? They were showing us pictures of guys dropping in the streets, dying right there.
Wagon full of dead bodies. Yeah.
And everywhere. And did we see that in any other country? We didn't see that in the United States. We didn't see that in Canada. And I mean, it was instilling fear right from day one. So it's like I always said, you know, there was at one time there, I remember they were saying the hospitals are overwhelmed the first time around. You know, they're saying it again. And people were going out and videoing the motels, and it was like crickets. There's nobody there. The security wouldn't let them in through the front to even see. The people that were around there were walking through the halls, and there was like nobody in there. You know, it was crazy. But, I mean, it makes you really wonder, and it's not surprising that they rely on of believing that the sheep or 80% of the population are going to believe every word they say. And then, so how do we win against that? And now we're starting to see people come out in droves and droves. And it's like, we always said, what's it going to take for people to wake up and realize that they've been had? And it's like I've been saying all along, and I'm sure everybody else has too, is that until it affects you directly in your life and your livelihood, you won't make a stand. Once you're in that situation, then you're going to start looking and analyzing things from a different perspective. And then you're going to start saying, well, maybe these guys are right. Now the tinfoil hat's come off, right? So,
well, yeah, you're probably experiencing the same thing I am, Jay, for the first time in my community here after being ridiculed for years here. You know, you're the tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist talking about airplanes knocking down buildings and stuff. And now those people are actually starting to engage in serious conversations with me. And that is encouraging. I've seen it in a lot of people that I've been talking to in town here for years. They're actually starting to take a look at what's going on, and none of it is passing the smell test. You know, the transmission of COVID-19, this is really how it occurs. The transmission of COVID-19 occurs it mostly through television and news broadcasting. Yeah. The virus settles, all the virus settles between your ears, and it really affects your rational thinking. Symptoms may include hypervigilant cleansing, distrust of friends and neighbors, and overwhelming urge to give up your basic human rights in exchange for perception of safety. Individuals, lodge your vacuums between their ears, they're at much higher risk. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a stupid virus propagated and being driven in our body by fear. And boy, I'll tell you, I thought we were supposed to be intelligent people. I thought we were supposed to think rationally. And boy, I say to people all the time, Glenn or Jay, I say, look, you know, if you can prove to me that these masks actually work, I've gone to the websites for all the manufacturers, and every one of them tell me the exact same thing, that these masks are not effective in any shape or form against stopping any coronavirus / SARS virus. They do not work for that, period. So why are we wearing them, folks? People go and look at. All I ask you to do, guys, is just go to the websites. If you don't believe me, just go look at this for yourself. And then you've got to ask yourself a real serious question is, why are they pushing this so hard on society if this is true? And then I challenge him with looking at what the effects of hypoxia are, especially on small children and what they're doing to children right now. I see kids walking around with masks. I'm a peaceful man, Jay, but I want to walk up and slap the parents right in the head. And I can't do that. I just, like, you guys are being so stupid. We're supposed to be intelligent beings, and we're just being scolded, like we're being called like sheep, and people are going along with this. And that's what really scares me, Jay. It really does.
And the thing is you hit the nail on the head there talking about the children and stuff, because this is their future. You know, when there's going to come a point when they get older and they're going to look at all of us and say, why didn't you fight for us? You know, you left us with nothing. And I mean, I see the kids, you know, in school having to deal with, like, you know, I've had to for me to go to some of my job sites to check in. Of course, I got to wear a mask, and I don't want to wear a mask. But if I want to work, I have to put it on and go check in, and then I'm good for the rest of the day. And for me, it's, you know, I'm pretty healthy that way. So, I mean, and I still have a trouble breathing with the stupid things. So I can't imagine what kids are doing in school. And there's a picture I seen on Facebook the other day that really, really hit me. And it was with, now Manitoba has taking all non-essential items in the Walmarts and stores, and they're cordoned off. You can't even go in there. And I seen a picture of a little boy. He was maybe 4 years old, and he was in Walmart, and he was standing with his hands in his pocket, and he was staring at the toys that were behind barricaded tape. And that just hit me so hard, because the little kid couldn't even go in there and look at the toys or anything. Like, what kind of a, you know, what's going through their minds?
What is that all about, folks? You hear what he's saying right now? That's beyond insanity. There's just absolutely no rationale to that except for social discourse, period. That's the only thing this is going to create. And I'm seeing this unfold, Jay. And people that are listening to this show today got to realize, buddy, that there isn't going to be another 5 or 6 years to stop this problem. What is coming at us right now is coming so hard and so fast that people are really going to have to take a look in the mirror, I think, Jay, and ask himself, you know, what am I going to do about this? Or am I going to bend over and just do whatever the government says? A lot of people will, but I think we're going to start touching the hearts of a lot of Canadians, especially with the restrictions we see and the news coming out of Toronto. What happened to that poor restaurant owner? Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if the listeners are aware of what's gone on in Toronto here in the last couple of days, but it is full blown communism, full blown fascist / communism in Canada right now as we talk. No doubt about it. When you have a small restaurant owner that is defying a provincial order that only seems to apply to small business orders, when you have a McDonald's and a Wendy's and a Costco 3 blocks away, wide open, doing business with thousands of people walking in and out of McDonald's all day long, buying the garbage, no enforcement laws, yet you have one little business owner that defies the lockdown, the Toronto police send 10 horses, 100 police officers, 60 cruisers, riot squads, and lock the place down. Now, under a health act in Ontario that nobody's ever heard about, they claim possession of the man's property. So they completely shut him down, barricaded his property, locked the doors, and have police guarding the property right now. This is Canada, guys? And you don't think this is coming to your backyard? Boy, I'll tell you, man, Jay, people, I'm at a point now where we have to belt it out. We have to belt this out, guys. We really do that. We are at a point right now where there isn't going to be, like I said, 5 years to fix this. If we don't put our foot down right now, they're just going to run right over us. What do you think?
Yeah, we can't be walking on eggshells anymore. I mean, when you look at the reality of how fast this ramped up, and I mean, like I say, back when we took the convoy to Ottawa, we were basically dealing with a few things like the carbon tax being pushed on us. And, you know, like I say, the oil field, the resources we can't get to market, they won't build the pipelines. And I mean, we were looking at a few things then. We knew something was coming. We just didn't know what it was. Now it's blatantly in our faces. And it's like, you know, we should have been at this 10, 15 years ago, because now it's, to me, it's like as soon as we took that convoy to Ottawa and it started waking a few people up and a few more people started coming out to the rallies and rallying in their own towns and everything, the government basically seen this and they thought, holy shit, we better ramp it up now because we don't have much time left to get our agenda and our agenda 2030 to play. And even when I used to speak about, you know, that was one of the things I used to talk about at our town halls and stuff was Agenda 2030, Agenda 21, and they're back to the, oh, you're a conspiracy. There's no way.
Now we just heard Trudeau just say it last week
on right live on TV. The Great Reset, Agenda 2030, the Sustainable Development Goals. This has been something that's been in the works since 1992, when 178 countries went to Rio de Janeiro and signed on to this sustainable development, that they want to basically take back the land in the countries, move everybody into the cities. They want to have everybody in little box, little suites in high rises so they can take the land back for the elite. And I mean, if you don't believe any of this, you can go and research it yourself. It's everywhere you want. If you go to the United Nations, you can get right into their minutes of their meetings if you want. It's scary. Yeah. It's scary.
Most people don't take time to do that. It really is sad that, you know, Canada, we're such a soft belly of the world. We're such an apathetic people because we've really never experienced strife in our country. Even like the United States has had civil wars. Sure, we had the Canadian-American War back in Upper and Lower Canada, minor little scuffles, but we've never really experienced a major war, anything like that in Canada. We've just been cuddled along for the last 50, 60 years, given all the pleasures and necessities in life and new cars and TVs and entertainment and everything that's made our society become such a bunch of spineless tourists, I'll call them. That's what I'll call them because they are people right now that when tyranny is in our face, it's absolutely your responsibility to stand against it. It's your moral and your duty to your country. And our country right now, Jay, it's being destroyed. People are allowing this to go on. I just don't understand because the end result, one day they're going to wake up and they're going to wait a second. Something's really wrong here. But you know what? By that time, it might be too late. And I really am fear for this country right now. The amount of cognitive dissonance in this country blows me away. It really does.
I honestly never thought I would ever see this in my lifetime. I mean, you know, you've seen things as a kid. And I mean, even I remember back when I was in the 70s, just a young kid, and my dad, he used to stay on top of a lot of stuff back then. And he used to always tell me when the world goes to cashless society, we're finished. And I think
that's not too far away, buddy.
That's the big, great reset right now. And I mean, rumors or not, you can look. I found, like, I do a ton of research. That's all I've done. That's what's got me into the situation where I am. And I've seen probably five or six different instances where they're talking about they're either going to give us a tattoo chip or put it in this vaccine that they want to give us, because this is what's coming next down the line, is they're trying to get everybody compliant with the masks. So when it comes to the vaccine scenario, that you're basically going to be told, well, if you don't have a vaccine, you can't get on the plane. You know, your job site might require you to have it. You're not going to go into certain places without it. So they're going to roll that into a chip, which however they want to administer that chip, we're going to make everybody wear that. And that's where how you're going to get to where you want to be. If you don't comply, they're going to cut your bank accounts off. They're not going to allow you to go places. They're going to, you know, take different scenarios away from you. Like it's getting that bad. Conspiracy or not, you can find anywhere you look.
Yeah, well, I'm a man of faith, Jay, and my Bible tells me exactly what's coming right now. But all that being said, the cashless society is coming with nanotechnology right now. And I've talked about this on many of my shows with Roger and other people that are really in the know about what they can do with nanotechnology. And that terrifies me because they could be putting stuff in our bodies right now, folks, that we do not know about through the spraying in our skies. Who knows what they're putting in these jet trails and these chemtrails that we're seeing in the sky. Yeah. With nanotechnology, they could be putting anything they want in there and we wouldn't know it. That's like really, you know, we're in a wackadoodle world because we can be at the mercy of lunatics with this kind of technology in their hands. And what are they going to do with it, folks? You think they're going to do something good with it? No. And that's what we're up against. We got about 5 minutes left, and then I'm going to let Guy come in for the second half here. But let's share a few more thoughts about what people can do maybe right now to stand up against all this tyranny that we see. What do you got for suggestions for people, Jay?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you know, look into your communities where you live and see what's going on. If there's actually people that are starting some of these protests and stuff, and you can get involved directly or indirectly, even if you share information on social media and stuff, just to get out to things. Or But the biggest thing I've always said is you got to do your own research. You know, I've said a lot today. You might not believe it. You might believe it. But I mean, don't take my word for what's really going on. Do your own research. Look it up. And I mean, you can, you know, people are smart enough nowadays to be able to read between the lines, because I think a lot of that's what's going to take to figure things out. We got to get involved. And if we do it for anything, we got to do it for our kids, grandkids, and the future generations that are going to have to deal with this when we're all gone.
Well, there isn't going to be a tomorrow, folks, and you're absolutely correct.
It's kind now
of, we have to stand up against this now or never. And it was really actually really nice talking with you today. And like I said, this is the first time we've had a chance to have a chat. And I think I'm going to have to get you back in here in the near future, because I love your thought process. But I am going to give the second half of the show here to Guy, and we're going to call him in right now. And I know he's got lots to say, but I want to thank you for joining me, buddy, on short notice today.
No problem. Anytime I'm here, say hi to Guy for me. I know him well. He knows me well. So,
okay, and where can people find you?
You can find me.
Mayor of what town?
I am the mayor of Roch Percy, Saskatchewan. I just got sworn in last week here, so I'm going to start to try and do things at the municipal level.
Okay, cool.
Well, thanks for joining me.
All right. Okay, hold on, Guy. Hold on. Okay, thanks for joining me, Jay. I'll let you go, buddy.
All right. Have a good day, and thank you, and hello to Guy.
Okay. Hi, Guy. How are you doing? You got noise in the background.
Yeah, okay. It's now off, okay. Barry. Good afternoon. Okay. And to Jay, a fellow patriot. I miss you, Jay. You're a great, great man. Congratulations
too,
on
buddy.
Becoming the mayor of this small town.
So, Guy,
how are you, take Barry? It away. How are you?
Yeah, well, that's great. You know what? Taking back the power at a municipal level is one of the things that we can really use as a weapon, guys. We should all be getting involved with our local municipalities, because we can stop all United Nations New World Agenda at the municipal level if we control the municipalities. So we've talked about that on shows, and I applaud you for what you've done, buddy.
Yeah, well done, Jay. And he put his name forward, and the good people of his town obviously saw that he is an incorruptible person, and thank God that people are taking back their municipalities. I hope the good people of Calgary and Ottawa and Vancouver and Redmonton do the same thing at the next election, because we've got some serious problems at the municipal level, and that's really where the rubber meets the road. You know, your garbage and all your roads and all the spending really takes place at the municipal level from what matters to local people. And if you look at the business taxes in Calgary, it's putting people out of business. And I hear that now Iveson is not running in Edmonton, the next one. He's stepping away. So hopefully we can take back some of the municipalities, Barry, and get some critically thinking, right-minded people in there, and some conservative fiscal oriented types that will not spend their way through our pockets.
Yeah, no, you know what? We've been talking about that lots in the last couple of years on my shows, Guy. And, you know, people are at their wits' ends right now, stopping what the government's doing. But what we're talking about right now, if everybody listening to the show got involved in their councils, we take the power back at the council level. The government cannot implement their New World Order agendas because the councils will stop them. I forget the name of the little town. Dave Delisle, who's a friend of mine, was a PPC candidate in the last election, told me, I can't remember the name of the town, but up in Northern Ontario, there's only five council members on the council. But three of them are anti-New World Agenda, and the mayor is New World Agenda. So every time he brings something forward that's anything to do with NWO, they immediately quash it. And it is driving him crazy, because he cannot implement any of the agendas that he's being directed to implement through the Council of Mayors for every province. Every province has a Council of Mayors, and they are directed by the government, the mandates and the agendas they're putting forward via their city council. So it's put a complete hiatus in that little town. And it's just an example, folks, of what we can do if we take back council and get back the power at the local level. So it's something we should kind of talk about lots, Guy, because it is an actual viable answer to all the problems we seem to be having right now with government. What do you think?
Well, from the municipal level in Ottawa, we've got a terribly left-leaning progressive council. We've got 24 councillors in a city of 1 million people. They want to bring it to 26 councillors. So they want to have as many councillors as they do for the city of Toronto as they do in Ottawa. And everybody's saying, we need less councillors, not more. And most of them are very left-leaning because basically the progressives have the microphone right now, Barry. And what's happened is the hard-working people of Ontario and many places across Canada are busy working hard while the social justice warriors are infecting the political process through the universities and through their little cliques in community associations, which then get them elected to council. And then they're able to spout their doctrine and get their left-leaning agendas on council. Our mayor specifically is Humpty Dumpty mayor. He won't come out and say shit if his mouth was full of it when it comes.
Oh, watch your language, hey, Jay? Or guy? Yeah, we don't swear on this show, okay, if you can, buddy. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, and he wouldn't go against the protesters that blocked a major interprovincial trade route between Ottawa and Quebec 2 weeks ago. But the police took them out in 30 hours, and then rightfully so, the police were chided for what they did. And it was just, the social justice warriors then instantly became victims because the police upheld the law. And this was a major transportation route linking Ontario and Quebec through the city of Ottawa, where all the trucks and major interprovincial transport takes place. But again, you get a few students and social justice warriors out there and blocking a major intersection, and the mayor goes into hiding. And then council comes out and takes the side of the social justice warriors on the following Monday when they had the police services board meeting. It was just terrible. So we're in a big mess here in Ottawa. We need a serious cleansing of our municipal level of politics and bring back some right thinking. But I guess a lot of places in Canada have that same problem.
You're not alone, that's for sure, because they know if they take the power at the municipal level, that's how they implement agenda without pushback.
Well,
they've been doing this for many years. Educate the Canadian people how we can take back our country.
Well, it's going to be a long road. I think Barry, we're a little bit too late. As Jay was saying, we should have started this 15 years ago. Because what's happened now is the progressives have such a hold on the microphone and such a hold politically that, this great reset proclamation that Trudeau came out with, if that doesn't wake a lot of people up, we're in serious trouble. And I think it has woken a lot of people up, but unfortunately, Canadians are very passive people. And until it starts affecting their pocketbook or until they start getting knocks at the door with the police checking on if you've had a 10 or 12 pound turkey bought at the store and you're holding a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner for more than 10 people. In Quebec, they have something called a telemandate or telewarrant. They don't even need to seek a court judge to have a search and seizure warrant. And much is happening the same thing in Manitoba with what's happening with Jay. But they can knock at your door, and if they see a few cars outside your house, they can actually telephone a warrant through a 1-800 number, and the police can get a warrant over their phone sent to them, signed by a judge, to enter your house to see if you have more than six people from the same household. So our premier here has already put into place search and seizure laws that have really taken away the Charter of Rights and Freedoms from Quebecers who have more than one other person in the same household. And he is allowing us to celebrate with people in the same family. How good of him.
Two days before Christmas,
2 days after Christmas, he's got a moral contract signed with Quebecers that we can at least celebrate Christmas and have 2 days before and 2 days after Christmas with more than one person in this from the same household. But after that, we have to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Wow. Please don't drop bombs on the show, guy. I'll have to cut you off. Yeah, I know, but please try and avoid the bombs. I know that we're all at that point, but we do really kind of push that hard. I know sometimes I want to explode, buddy, and I really have a hard time sometimes keeping back my emotions. But we do simulcast on a Christian network, and they really get offended by that. So let's just try going forward for the last little bit. Yeah, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. I understand. I understand your level of frustration. You're not alone in Canada right now. That we see absolutely draconian measures completely blown out of context beyond any realm of common sense, where approximately 166 people, Guy, had died in Canada since the onslaught of this scamdemic under the age of 60 years of age. And if people could just sit down and roll that around in their brains for about 10 minutes and then ask themselves where the rationale is in our government, you will find absolutely none, that this is a draconian takeover of all your rights and freedoms in disguise. Go ahead.
And those people had comorbidities. They could have had a virus, but they also
had
comorbidities like diabetes, like heart conditions, like anything else. So COVID may have not even been the primary cause of those 166 people dying outside of long-term care home.
But even if we give them that, even if we gave them that,
you saw Dan Dixon's thing on how the CTV washed their broadcast when they announced that a couple of Sundays ago with, I think it was Sandy Rinaldo last Sunday.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's for truth. God love him. He showed the difference in the timelines of the two clips. And you can clearly see that they've washed that statistic out of the news because it obviously got past somebody in the edit Politburo at CTV where they actually disclosed the truth that 10,781 people died in long-term care.
Yeah.
166 people died outside of long-term care.
They really messed up there, didn't they?
Oh, boy. I bet
somebody got fired. Somebody got fired over that one.
Somebody's lost a Snowflake of the Week award for that one.
Oh, man. But, it just blows my mind, the levels of censorship that's going on in this country right now. It's right out of Chapter 3 of the Communist Manifesto, Guy. It is just on steroids right now, and people are still walking around with their masks on. So I'm at a point some days where I just, am I fighting a losing battle here? Are we that far gone as a society that we cannot rationally think for ourselves, no matter what the facts are, no matter how much information's out there that contradicts what the government is saying? People just continue to go along like little sheeple to their death. They're all on the Titanic and they don't care. The iceberg coming and they see it, but they're going ahead.
It's pretty bad when the editor of CTV National News needs a fact checker and then they basically put the facts on and then they wash the fact from the actual newscast. And I think, if this doesn't wake up a lot of people to say this is just a big conspiracy that, put a ring around long-term care homes. We know that the virus is very lethal to elderly people and people that have comorbidities or immune-compromised systems, but the fact that we've shut down an economy for 166 deaths and actually our death rate is lower because everybody's locked down, we've seen lower rates in car accidents, lower rates in everything, but, of course, since we're locked down, we're safer, as we're told.
Yeah. What really teased me off the most, and we talked about it in the first half hour, here's the effect on children in our society. The trauma that they're going through right now is just going to change their lives forever. And if you think that's a joke, folks, I am telling you the truth right now. I've listened to quite a few world-renowned psychologists talk about this issue. And the damage we're doing to our children is criminal. It's criminal because this does not affect children. But their social development at this particular time is critical in their life. You and I, Guy, when we went to school, we were in everybody's face in the schoolyard. You know, when recess, man, we were all outside getting into trouble, chasing the girls, doing what we did. And it made us what we are today. And that is being taken away from our children. And I'll tell you, the effect on our children is going to last for decades, Guy, not a couple years, for decades.
Globalist, love it because it goes to the control and obeying narrative.
Of course, you want to create little robots.
Wash your hands every 6 minutes. Wear this mask. Do this. Do that. So, you know, the globalists love it because it basically,
of course,
again, indoctrinates the children to the narrative and the methodology with which they want to prescribe to.
Well, if people don't think this is directly the agenda planned out to the T, what the globalists are doing, then you really do have your head in the sand because there is absolutely no rationale, none at all, for what we're doing to our children right now. There isn't. I defy anybody to prove me wrong on that statement. Prove me wrong. Show me where it's affecting children in any kind. I mean, Guy, when I went to school, measles were all through the school, okay? Lots of kids went home because they had measles. Lots of kids went home because they had the mumps. But we didn't shut down the world over that. It's what you call immune-building viruses and disease and sicknesses that we need that build our immune system. When I was growing up, Guy, I had every disease known to children. You know, mumps, measles, chickenpox, whooping cough. I had every one of them. Even, you know, poison ivy. I was exposed to everything. And you know what? My immune system today is strong because of that. And children is criminal, Guy. It's criminal. And people don't see that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, as you say, it's quite interesting to see the next phase of the program will be those who require the certificate of vaccine to work and the first responders. I know first responders and frontline healthcare workers that don't take the flu vaccine because they don't like vaccines.
Right.
So I know the next part of this program is going to be people who refuse the vaccine because it has come out so fast, because it's untried. And sure enough, our frontline healthcare workers are going to be the first people with seniors to be given the vaccine. I want to know, what about the certificate of vaccine takes place? And I want to know, I want to see the first healthcare workers that say, you know what, I'm going to wait a year. I want to see the effects of this vaccine, and then they basically won't be able to go back to work until they have the certificate of vaccine, and then you're going to have another uproar for human rights and everything else because you won't be able to travel, you won't be able to work, you won't be able to go and get on a bus unless you've got the certificate of vaccine. So I'm looking for some healthcare workers that are willing to stand up and not have this poison injected into them until, I'm not against vaccines, Barry. I'm not an anti-vaxxer in any respect, but the fact is that I am very worried because of the whole way this whole thing's and because of everything that's taken place with this pandemic, scandemic. I'll be damned if I'm going to get it right away, and I'm going to wait a year or two because, again, I might have the antibodies already, and there's a 99.4% chance that if I do get COVID, I'm going to recover anyways. So why the hell do I need a vaccine?
Well, that question is going to be asked by a lot of people, Guy, and as far as vaccines go, I mean, we always tend to agree to disagree, and I am totally 100%. Let me finish my statement. I am totally 100% anti-vaccine. Yeah, because I've been studying them for years of my life. And that really gets me to where I see this going right now, because the one that's coming forward from these are the same people that have been putting vaccines in society for years. We don't have time to discuss that today. I would love to have an open discussion sometime in the future with about that particular issue, because I've been studying them for many years of my life. So I'm totally anti-vax, and that's what my shackles up. I know where this is coming from. I know it's coming Genesis by the name of Bill Gates, and it's coming in conjunction with the Chinese Communist Party. Everything is absolute lunacy. If you've studied anything about rationale of a vaccine, this is absolute beyond anything that ever has been tried in the world before. It scares the heck out of a lot of people. We're going to have to inform. Our duty right now is to totally inform the public. And they'll quash it, of course, left, right, and center. But our obligation right now is to inform everybody that we possibly can about the dangers of this. And you know what? We're doing this flyer campaign now. Guy, I think I talked to you about that the other day. Well, we've got the flyer made up, and we're going to put it out there if anybody wants this flyer. But my daughter's made up a list, and she's kind of like on fire right now because she kind of came awake here a little while ago. And she can't believe what she's going on, and she's scared. But she's also doing something to be positive about it, and we're doing this flyer campaign where we can actually reach what folks. And this is something everybody want to think about for a second, because we have such a media quash in the world right now that this information, the young people aren't actually getting information that they need to have, that the way we reach these young people is simply make up flyers and hand them out, do it on a personal basis, and just ask them simply, you know, in a very polite way with a smile on your face. And that really has an effect on people. Talk with your heart for a second. Say, look, you know, go take a look at this information. It's not going to take more than a half of your hour of your time. Here's three websites of world-renowned doctors that will give you absolute contradicting evidence to what you're hearing on the mainstream. Would you be interested in just listening to them? And you know what, guy? I'll bet you 8 out of 10, maybe 7, or even 6 out of 10. Maybe we'll go have a look at this, because they're always asking.
Yeah, they'll
they're
never admit it. Asking. They'll have a look at it, but they'll never admit it. Again,
maybe they will. Well, maybe, guy, we could start a few of them actually looking at this, and then they get together with a little group so they have some backing in the school.
Well,
so when they're attacked, we got to reach some millennials, is what I'm saying. That's all.
And again, God love you for doing it for so many years, Barry. You know, I remember 3, 4, 5 years ago listening to a lot of things on your show, and, you know, a lot of them have come true. And, you know, you should feel vindicated for being called a conspiracy theorist or tinfoil hatter, because, you know, you did get it right in a lot of respects. And this is definitely this great reset thing. I even said to Beth Trudeau and a few other people outside my circle, my immediate circle, who I was activists with, this 20 UN sustainable development, that's not what you think it is. And I'll tell you, I've been proven wrong too, and God love them. You know, I didn't believe a lot of people for a lot of things that they said years ago, and look where we are now, you know?
All I've ever seen.
I lost you there, Barry.
Barry.
Paragraph for paragraph, exactly what's going on in our society. Yes, Steve, you want to say something?
No, you were...
No, I just...
You were silent for about
you're back now,
5 seconds. You were silent, and we lost you.
You know, okay, just to wrap up, you were asking Jay what we've all got to do. And, you know, I'm trying to get some people in this social cesspool here in Ottawa organized. And I think Jay's right. You've got to spread the word. You've got to inform people, or at least get people's point of view on where they stand, and try and direct them in the right way to get critical thinking and more information on this. But, you know, I'm starting a bumper sticker program so that people can put it on the back of their car. There's going to be two bumper stickers. One's going to say "The Great Reset, Retire Trudeau," and the other one's going to be "Try Trudeau for Treason," which I saw in one of your Facebook photos. You actually have a shirt with that same saying on it. So yeah. I think we've got to hang Trudeau's words on him and ask people who are supporters or potential supporters of the Liberal Trudeau, what do you think about the Great Reset? What do you think it really implies for you, your family, your kids? What do you think about using a pandemic as a springboard for a new socialist system in Canada? Or do you even really know what the Great Reset involves with regards to financial deficits and government reset? Doesn't that scare the heck out of you? And get people to answer your simple questions on what do you think the Great Reset means? And then if they don't come out with obviously any logical answers, and they say, oh, it's just fine, you know, we've got to change our ways from capitalism, and I'm fine with socialism, and I'm fine with the government making sure that I get everything for free, well, then you know what you're dealing with, you know what I mean? And that's unfortunately a lot of the kids and the university students have been indoctrinated that way, and if so, we're in big trouble, Barry. We're in big, big trouble if the majority of the population actually thinks that way.
Well, guys, this indoctrination, you know, this plan that we see unrolling in society right now was laid down in think tanks 40, 50 years ago by psychopaths with no soul. And they've laid down the guidelines that will bring society to where we are today through multiple different mechanisms. And we could talk for hours about the mechanisms they've used to destroy the very soul of the human being. Multiple attacks from multiple different directions that don't seem like they're working together, but they are, my friend. in conjunction.
If I may, quote Abraham Lincoln, you know, one generation's education is the next generation's public policy. And mm-hmm. this indoctrination that's been clearly taking place in our universities and throughout our school system with regards to, you know, it's taken hold. And we even had it when we were kids in school, but we didn't realize it. But it's just become so evident now and so self-evident that, you know, these Antifa and these kids I see blocking intersections from university dorms. And then, you know, saying that, oh, we're the victims, we're going to have to put up with this world. Look at the world that you've left us. You know, it's just unbelievable, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it didn't happen overnight. You don't get society at this point overnight. We are in a lot of trouble.
Topic. Yeah, is everybody a victim? What's your victimology? You know what I mean? When did everybody in society become a victim? And I think this pandemic is basically showing that out too. You know, you look at the mainstream media and you look at the drivel that they're reporting on the news. It's like everybody's a victim now. You know, oh, we got to save ourselves from society.
Yeah, it is kind of, you got to make a little bit of humor about it, but it's a very sad situation we find ourselves in now, buddy. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I'm 66. I've been in this world now for that many years, and boy, I have seen changes here just in the last 3 years that are absolutely astounding me. Real acceleration of the agenda. But they know they have to accelerate it now because people are starting to wake up worldwide. In droves now, guy. People are waking up. So the more they wake up.
Will we have to be Venezuela with snow? Will we have to become Venezuela with snow before Canadians wake up? How long will it take Trudeau and his treasonous crew to destroy this country? And when will Canadians wake up? Will we have to wait until our currency is floating down the street on the winds of change?
I don't have that answer, buddy.
Becomes worthless?
Well, I don't have that answer. All I can tell you is that general conversations now, people are waking up. Whether they're going to wake up fast enough, we have the numbers. We are the ants, and they are the grasshoppers. I don't like to use that simulation, but it's so true. And if the ants ever wake up, the grasshoppers are in a lot of trouble. And they know that, and they know the ants are starting to wake up. And there's more. You look at the rallies that are growing in Canada. Sure, they're only going up a little bit, but they're going up. The ones in Toronto, but 2 months ago, they had a hard time getting 150 people out to Queen's Park. When the country's being destroyed, 200 people they were getting out. All of a sudden, now it's turned into 5,000 people. We had a parade in Toronto that incorporated 5 kilometers of Toronto streets. They're out there, and people are starting to go, well, why are all these people peed off so much? Maybe we better look into this. But you're right, guy. We don't – right now, the way I see the situation, honestly, if we don't put a stand right now. I'm talking in the next couple, 3 months against what this government's doing, we could possibly lose the country. People say that can't happen. Well, folks, it can happen. It has happened before, it will happen again. Huh?
It is happening before your eyes.
It's happening right now, but we can still stop it. We can still stop
$350 billion in spending. We can't even get oversight on $227 million given to a Liberal MP for a company that's not produced one ventilator and that doesn't even Health Canada approved. We can't get $30 million back from WE. And he's doling out our tax dollars. The printing presses are rolling at the Bank of Canada. And there's no
$400 million there, $500 million there. Another $500 million towards COVID vaccines for other countries in the world. It's just ongoing. It's unbelievable that there is no system of checks and balances in our government anymore. It's gone. They're running a dictatorship, folks. Full blown. I see that, and you see that, guy. Well, you see that, and I see that.
No accountability, no oversight. Corruption is rampant. Again, Argentina with snow. Canada is or will become Argentina with snow.
I know. I really hope that doesn't happen. I really believe that there's still a window of opportunity if the masses arise. So I'm not going to give up on my country, Guy. I am going to continue to share as much as I can with as many people as I can. If it goes the way of the globalists, then all I can say is I can look in the mirror and say I've done my best, that I can't do any more than I'm doing right now.
You're right.
That's all we can do right now as human beings that love our fellow man, because I love my fellow man, and I know you do too, or you wouldn't be out here talking. So thanks for what you're doing.
I don't have as much faith in citizenry as you do. I really don't have as much faith in the Canadian citizenry as you do, because I believe we're passive sheep, and we will sit on the couch until the end is near. And I think there's a few patriots out there, a few thousand, a few hundred thousand that are, and a lot of them live in rural areas, and a lot of them are older people, because they know that this government's a sham, and they know that Trudeau 1 and Trudeau 2 is going to, Trudeau, too, is definitely going to destroy this country. And that's the bottom line, is we can't even trust democracy anymore. Just in closing, you know, what we've seen
south
of the border, voting thing, you know, who can even trust an election now? And the next election will, you know, you can't. So democracy has been the victim.
Guy, that half hour went by, and I'm going to unfortunately have to let you go, but I'm going to get you back in the near future for continued talk. I got Jurgen coming in the next hour here, and he's about to explode. So if you want to hang around in the room and listen to Jurgen talk, you're invited to stay. But he's frothing at the bit. Oh, he's frothing.
That's
so
fine.
Look out, guys. Okay, Guy, I thank you for coming in on short notice today, and definitely
thanks
have you back in the near future. And good work you're doing with your radio shows, and glad you're back helping us share the truth, my friend.
I thank you generously. Thank you very much, Barry, for having
me. Okay, folks, I'll be back in 3 minutes. I am going to go outside for 3 minutes, and I'll be back with Jurgen. And boy, I'll tell you, I don't know what's going to come out of his mouth today, but look out. Back in 3. Well, welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks to my guests, the first hour. I think we covered quite a bit of information that first hour, and on short notice, I want to thank them again for coming in. But I'm joined with a gentleman that I really, how do I describe Jürgen to you? I've known Jürgen now for, I think, close to 3 years of my life, and don't know too many people with as much passion as Jürgen has right now for what's going on in this country, and I want to thank him for joining me again today. You had a little poem or a little essay you wrote yesterday you sent me, Jürgen. You know the one I'm talking about? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Hey, Barry. Thanks for inviting me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, that little essay you dropped me yesterday. You know the one I'm talking about, Jürgen?
I write essays all the time, Barry. Not sure which one. I've got about five of them in front of me here.
Started off with the conservatives, the libertarians.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got it in front of me. Do you want me to read it out?
I was going to ask you to read that, Jürgen, because I've shared that around in a lot of places, and it's really hit home with a lot of people. It kind of just, it actually makes people think in context exactly what's going on, because we have such a short memory, it seems like, in Canada, and stuff that happened last week, people have forgot about already. So do you mind reading that?
No, I don't mind at all. I've got it right in front of me here. So for 8 years, conservatives, independents, and libertarians, along with others outside of the left, were bombarded with adulation of the Obamas. Liberals wallowed in admiration no matter the war started or the theft of intellectual property enabled by that corrupt regime. He was such an eloquent speaker, we all agreed on that. Didn't matter where he came from, and his sealed school records didn't matter either. Billions of dollars in cash to Iran didn't matter. The Benghazi massacre didn't matter. Selling uranium to the Russians, it didn't matter. Fast and furious gun running, didn't matter. Private servers open to hacking, didn't matter. The media exalted every move of that administration, and their constant positive spin and propaganda put them on a Christ-like pedestal. We watched as open border policies and sanctuary cities were injected into society without any public consultation. BLM and Antifa were allowed free rein by the left to terrorize others, and leftist leaders said nothing. Maxime Waters pushes violence. No one says anything. Justin Trudeau calls Canadians Nazis, and his supporters smile. His foundation collects millions from foreign interests, and his supporters don't care. Pay to play doesn't matter, as the end justifies the means, always. The wolves in sheep's clothing are never recognized by those who don't realize that there are wolves. In a fantasy world, singing Kumbaya is much more preferable to opening one's eyes to deception. If you think Michelle Obama and her outfits are more glamorous than Melania Trump, then you truly have been blinded. Their programming of you is almost complete.
There. Well said. Yeah, you know, I shared that around, like I said, Jürgen, and I got a lot of good response. I love your thought process, buddy. How you put it out, I really do. You put out some incredible stuff here in the last couple of months, so keep it up, because it really does.
Thank you very much. I've got piles of them. I try to put them out, and I'll tell you what, the majority of them get blocked by all the social media platforms, so I'm glad that some of them managed to slip through.
Well, the level of censorship we're facing now, it's ramping up like at light speed right now, Jürgen, literally at light speed, they're ramping this up. And I believe the time's coming very soon that you and me might not be able to have this conversation, that they just might go full-blown and shut the internet down for a while, because they can do that. They have the technology to shut it all down, completely isolate us. They're stepping towards that now, buddy. They're conditioning society step by step, piece by piece, brick by brick, and they're getting close, aren't they?
70% of the Western world is employed by small business, and small business is being pummeled. So what happens when we lose them? Mass unemployment and a government throwing out a guaranteed income so they have complete control over you. That's what you have. Refuse this or that, and they won't pay you. Klaus Schwab, head of the UN, calls it the fourth industrial revolution, which is complete BS, as if governments create industrial revolutions. They don't. Entrepreneurs create revolutions and jobs and opportunities. Government only gets in the way to take a piece. Like Agenda 2030, right? It calls for no possessions for anyone, and you will be happy. And here in Canada, is well on the way, as most people are very happy to comply. The naivety of the Canadian people is a really cute trait that will do us in as we feel secure in a blanket of lies told to us by the media and all the government officials, right? People in Canada see no evil in Canada, and the media is mostly to blame. But at the end of the day, research is available to most people, but they skip meaningful education for entertainment gratification, don't they?
They do. It's one of the greatest distractions in our society. You know, when things get bad, they put the hockey back on, man. And everybody's feeling good because their team's winning. I sit back and guys are talking about who won the hockey game last night. And my country's falling apart. It just goes to show you the level of brainwashing and conditioning and programming in our society. And it didn't happen overnight. You know that. It's been years and years and years. We've said this many, many times on our shows that it's years and years of programming to get society to where we are right now. And we do have a massive problem on our society. Learning to unlearn, one of the biggest problems that society has right now, period. As far as I'm concerned, and of course, the mainstream media is, without a doubt, our biggest enemy.
Well, people are certainly blissfully ignorant here, and you know, one of the amazing things that I'm looking at is one of the first things in short supply in the Soviet Union was toilet paper. Do people realize that? It was one of the first things the Soviet Union ran out of was toilet paper. Okay, so if people don't think that history is repeating itself, then they certainly are blind. The politicians, though, you know, when you look at this all, it's as if the politicians and the bureaucrats, they knew this was coming, because if you remember back almost a year ago, they voted themselves in a big, fat, nice, big, fat raise, right? So they get a nice raise. They inflict 270 days of enforced medical tyranny on the rest of society. And then they step up to a microphone telling us all how they're working for us and making us all safe. I mean, it's just absolutely brutal when you look at bureaucrats and technocrats having a steady paycheck as they pontificate over the rest of us and rain down edicts and mandates to prevent the masses from earning a darn living. It's right in everybody's face. Like you said in the last hour with your guests, and I really appreciated all the input from Jay and from Guy. We're all on the same page here. We all see what's going on. What we have to realize, though, is that this is medical tyranny. Who gave these people the power over our elected officials to run our lives? That's the question we need to ask right now. Who gave these people that kind of power? If you look at these medical officials, we all know who they're taking their orders from. It certainly isn't from the masses or our government officials. They're taking it from the United Nations, and we all know it. So what do we do now? I think what we need to do, Barry, and I've seen it, and it's really refreshing to me, having been in this battle for so many decades, seeing the collapse into communism, screaming about it 20, 30 years ago, and nobody paying any attention to it because everybody was just so wrapped up in their life, trying to catch up to the dollar and make sure their bills are paid. It's just absolutely brutal how they've shaped us and headed us towards this. We've watched as they headed us towards this for the last 40, 50 years. And as you try to warn people, they look at you like you got horns on your head, like you're an idiot. And I have to go back to the 80s and the 90s when we had our store in Ottawa. And I've told you this before. I've mentioned this on other programs. In the city of Ottawa, having a retail store during the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it was horrible because people that worked in the government came in and never expected you to make a profit. Profit was a dirty word. And we kept looking around and thinking, why do these people think profit's a dirty word? How come they don't want us to make any money? How come they think that just because we own a small retail store, we're freaking millionaires? They've been lied to. They're lied to on how the whole system works. And you can tell that because when you look at all these municipal bureaucracies, and Guy hit on it before, every one of those municipal bureaucracies is so corrupt, they don't know how to make any money. They don't know how to turn over a dime. They don't know how to human resource people. They're driven by political agendas only and by appealing to stakeholders that want an interest in the movement of goods and services within that particular jurisdiction. That's it. That's all. And that's what we've progressed to. We need to take that back. And the first thing I think we need to do is we need to storm the CBC. We need to storm the CTV. And I'm talking about going in and saying, we own this. You do not. You're fired. You're fired. And so are you. We are the boss. We have taken over. Barry, you got this office. Guy, you've got that office. And Billy Joyce and all these other great patriots, take over these offices and start disseminating real news to the Canadian people because they deserve it.
Boy, and if that ever did happen, Jürgen, there would be riots in the street.
Exactly.
We'd blow it open to them, but they need to hear it. And what's going on with media, you're absolutely right. It's such a travesty. But you know what? Anytime we look at history, Jürgen, where a government has pulled a coup on the people, they've controlled the media. We have multiple examples of that in history, and it's repeating itself right now in front of our eyes. When you control the media, you control the narrative, you control the population. And people that go home and watch CBC every night and drink that Kool-Aid and go to bed, Jürgen, I don't know what to say to them at this point because I made a point the other day. I was talking to some gentlemen, and you're well aware of this as much as I am, that there's literally not just hundreds of thousands of doctors now around the world that are coming out and speaking against this scandemic being perpetrated on the human race. But you do not hear, and I say this to guys I'm talking to, we're supposed to be an educated society. And I said, if that's the case, why? Why with the fact, and I showed him a couple links and a couple that Dr. Hodgson that talked to Edmonton, I actually played that truck. And I said, look, just listen to this guy. And this is just one doctor speaking out, but just listen to what this expert, and he gives us his qualifications. They did. And you could literally, Jürgen, you could see their jaws just kind of dropping a little bit. And I put the question to him, and this is what we got to explain to people, is that we are in a state of censorship right now. That I talked about this earlier, how we can start reaching people, but we're in a state of censorship contradicting this narrative is being centered for the American people. We're supposed to be, the job of any news media in Canada is supposed to be supplying the public with all sides of the story so that they can take an informed and educated assessment of what. And we've gotten so far away from that, Jürgen. You're right. If I would join a parade tomorrow on the offices of CBC, what's the government going to do if 100,000 Canadians showed up? 100,000 Canadians were such an apathetic people, but I'm going to say at the same mouthful, Jürgen, I see Canadians really starting to wake up, even in my little sleepy town of Paris. Go ahead.
Well, that's really nice to hear. However, we still need to see a much more mass movement of people. You know, one of the big things that people need to really remember here is that they absolutely must not think that government is their friend. Okay? Government is there to take whatever it can from you. What we have done is we have allowed it to run roughshod in our country. We have allowed certain prime ministers to take complete control of this country as opposed to the parliamentary process. We've allowed that to happen. And every particular party has participated in it. There's no patting Stephen Harper on the head. Good boy, you were a good boy for the number of years you were in, because he wasn't. He sold us down the river just like the rest of them did. Yep. Every single one of them has sold us down the river, and I wish people would stop patting Stephen Harper on the back of the head, saying what a good boy he was, because he wasn't. Let's tell the truth here. The truth is, from the 1950s, 60s on, after the Second World War, we have been dominated by a culture driven by the Laurentian elite in this country to establish and make sure that the Francophone culture overrides the Anglo culture in Canada. Part of that is its association with the United Nations that has given protective powers to the nation of Quebec to override anything that the country of Canada is willing and able to do. That's part in partnership with their allegiance. And you know, you can get all kinds of different press and you think, oh boy, Quebec is fighting against this and Quebec is that. But in reality, Maurice Strong was from Quebec. Quebec has secured its place within the United Nations agenda, sustainability agenda. They were promised they could keep their language. The Anglos haven't been promised that. So, we need to realize what's really going on here. There is a nation of Quebec in this country, people. The nation of Quebec drives the rest of Canada. You think that we have a country called Canada, but and a nation of Quebec is within it. No, no, we have a nation of Quebec that drives the rest of Canada. Sorry to say that, but that's the way it is. And you know, the media supports all of that, but by their allowing certain things to happen in this country and just let it slide in favor of one particular province when the rest of the country has to pay for it all. It's just absolutely brutal. But what's happening here now, you're seeing an awakening that you talked about earlier. You know, we're surrounded so much by lies, obfuscation, omission, corruption, and malfeasance of all sorts. It's just absolutely beyond belief. You know, we have so many people now supported by people that work their asses, butts off, pardon me. People work their butts off to pay for people who get a secure paycheck every week. And those people are the ones that are raining mandates on the rest of us to stop living a life. It's just absolutely a circle of viciousness.
It is, sure.
Pass it over to you for a minute. You know, I think back, Barry, to what they did to my wife and the tainted blood scandal. Just look at what they're doing to people now. They killed tens of thousands of Canadians knowingly with tainted blood back in the 80s. You know, it came from prisoners in Louisiana and Arkansas. The Red Cross distributed the blood. We all know that. And now we have a situation where the same people that are in charge of our health care are showing what kind of medical tyranny we really are living under. When we gave away the right for private individuals to get involved in our health care system, and we said only government can do it, now you're seeing the fruits of it. Now you got government officials banning any doctors from speaking about this so-called pandemic. Any doctor that speaks out against the government narrative is punished. He's off of all the social media. They're not allowed to talk about it, right? This is the effect of handing over your personal health care to a government entity that doesn't give a tinker's darn about you. That's where we're at.
I could listen to you talk for an hour, Jürgen.
Good. Okay. So I'll tell you
what. You're right on. Go ahead. Carry on.
All right. Let me carry on with something here. Those outside the circle of steady pay are losing everything, while those that depend on us for their pay care not for us. So why are we still paying them to do this? You know, the end will only come when we decide that the future belongs to all the people, not just those we entrust with power, then abuse it for personal gain or for political party favors to their stakeholders, like the money masters, like banks and big pharma. We are the boss, and we must assume that mantle. This is where we're at. We've surrendered that mantle. We've said, here, you're the boss. We're afraid of you. You tell us what to do. You tell us how to live our lives. No, no, no. That paradigm needs to be reversed. It needs to be reversed yesterday. They should be afraid of us, not us afraid of them. And you and I know that. And either that or we're done, and every good soldier will have sacrificed for naught, right? And if that happens, that would be the most shameful and disgraceful act we could ever conjure up as a nation. By not fighting, because these boys lost their lives, and we're going to sit on our couch and complain that we have to get up, go to a rally, or we got to take over the CBC building or something like that, while boys died in minus 40 temperatures on battlefields, 17, 18 years old, pointing their rifles at another kid, 17 or 18 years old, who was told that he was doing the right thing for his people. We are letting them down in such a big way. It makes me mourn. I mourn and I weep for all of those boys and girls who lost their lives in those wars, fighting for our freedoms. At this past Remembrance Day was one of the most heartfelt Remembrance Days I ever had, Barry. I've got to tell you this story. I was visiting my son in Red Cliff, a small burg just outside of Medicine Hat, and the greenhouse capital of the world, by the way. Great greenhouses there. You can get fresh stuff, and they just let you buy it by yourself. There's no till or anything. It's great. Anyways, sidetracked. I was on Remembrance Day. I was going to visit my son, and I was driving down the road, and it was a really cold, blistery. You know, one of those days where, you know, there's hardly any sun, and the wind is blowing, and the snow, and it's just crisp. It's really crisp, and it was an empty street. It was the main street in Red Cliff, and I was driving down it, and there was a lad at the Legion there, and I saw the cannon, and so I pulled up on the right side of the road. It was across the street. And I watched the lad, and he was fixing one of the flags, because one of the flagpoles, I guess the flag was stuck. It wasn't all the way up. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll help the lad and see if I can help him get that flag in the right place. And so I parked my car. I crossed the street, and the wind was just really bitter. And as I crossed the street, I started thinking about, my goodness, you know, how can you be 17 or 18 years old in this kind of weather and told that you have to go and kill a guy 100 or 200 or 300 yards away, or you have to drag this cannon across some field, and it's minus 25 and the wind is blowing like this? I looked at that cannon. And after helping the guy a little bit, I did what I could with the flag thing and sort of chatted with him a little bit about how cold it was and how we need to remember these lads. And I looked at this cannon, and it had a plate on it that said that it was from 1914. And it was I guess they had captured it, that cannon, from the Germans or something. I'm not sure now. But I just looked at it and I thought, you know, this is so sad to think that we have sacrificed so much for so many people and so many families over the last 150 years, two world wars in the last century, all the wars that we sent these boys to. And for what? For what? To appease some masters so that they can get rich on both sides of the war selling weapons and all that stuff. They laugh as they sit in their rooms, and they play with their little toy armies as real people get killed. And so I looked at that, and you know, it was one of the most poignant moments of my life, because I really, really felt it. I've never felt Remembrance Day, because for me, Remembrance Day has always been bittersweet. And I'll tell you why. It's because my dad was on the other side. My dad was a German soldier. He was told that he was doing the right thing. And my whole life existence here in Canada, I watched Remembrance Day ceremonies celebrating the death of only the boys in this country. It seemed like we are only celebrating the death of our side, because only these boys are to be celebrated in death for fighting for what they believed in. But then you look at it and say, no, 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 all the boys. We need to remember all the boys that were poisoned by these people that told us we are the good guys and they're the bad guys, when they were the bad guys and we're all good guys. You know, you're a liberal, or you're an NDP, or you're a conservative in Canada. I don't care. You're still a Canadian. You're still a good person. And yet the liberal press is telling everybody that us conservatives, we want dirty air and dirty water. We want to push granny off the friggin' iceberg. It's just absolutely brutal. I blame the media for all of this. That's why I say it is time for us to stand up. We need to take the media back. Canadians need to know the real news. Canadians need to know the truth. Without the truth, they are shackled. Without the truth, they will not get off the couch. Without the truth, they will never join us. And they will always listen to their masters dressed up behind those beautiful.
Hello, Jürgen.
Yeah, we lost him.
Maybe.
Jürgen, we lost your volume there, buddy.
I think maybe his internet might be a little wonky.
Yeah, we lost you there, buddy. We still don't hear you. What a travesty. Maybe they blipped him. I wouldn't doubt it, Steve.
Yeah.
The attacks. We're still not hearing you, Jürgen. I don't know why.
No, it... Oh, there you are.
Yeah, you're back.
There you are.
You're back.
Hello?
You're back.
Can you hear us?
As soon as you get Jürgen, they blip you.
Wow.
They're Jürgen, what happened today on a radio show? I want you to continue. Buddy, I love your passion. I really do, Jürgen. And you're speaking here, and there's tears coming down my face right now, because my heart is broken just like yours when I look at what's going on to this great country and Canadians' inability to look in the mirror and ask them what the most important thing in their life right now is, that we are on the verge of giving up everything over nothing. and the level of cognitive dissonance in this country, I have to try and remain positive. I still have to say to myself that maybe tomorrow that the mass awakening will happen and people will stand up and open defiance, because that's our duty right now in this country. Because when tyranny becomes law, defiance becomes a duty, and that's where we're at, Jürgen. If we could just get that into the hearts of Canadians, but they're so programmed, buddy. And some days I wonder if we can. I really do. I have to ask myself that question, but I have to remain positive. I have to tell myself every day that we still have a chance to turn this around if we can just get the sheeple to wake up, Jürgen. So when you talk. You hit me right to the heart, and I hope that you're having the same effect on other people, because right now we see what's coming, Jürgen, and it drives me nuts when I see what's coming for my children, my grandchildren, and the people of this planet being perpetrated on us by a group of evil, demonic entities from hell, because that's where these people came from. I can't describe it any other way in my life. And what they're doing to our world right now, well, Jürgen, even though it's a terrible thing that's going on, I have to find some kind of peace knowing that one day these evil people that are perpetrating this on our planet will have to stand in front of a much higher force and answer for their sins. And they will be judged accordingly. But the hell they're bringing to this planet right now, it just blows me away, Jürgen. And my heart is broken. It really is. I go into, I see little kids now and I want to cry, because, this is real. This isn't a joke. This is something that's coming at us so hard and so fast. You know, we've been talking about this for years, Jürgen. You go back to shows we had 5 or 6 years ago, and we were all talking about a time that was going to come when they were going to turn society upside down. They might use the collapse of the dollar. They might use a medical emergency, blah, blah, blah. But and then I'll tell you something else, Jürgen. This is something everybody has got to go look up. Klaus Schwab wrote a book, and it was released in 2016, Jürgen, and you know what I'm talking about. It's called COVID-19. The book was, get a load of this, folks, the book was called COVID-19, The Great Reset.
Yeah.
And he wrote it in 2016. What am I missing there?
And now he says that the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country, from the U.S. to China, must participate, and every industry, from oil and gas to tech, must be transformed. And critical to the implementation of all of this is the Gates Foundation. That's from Klaus Schwab. Now here, as you and I, Barry, and our generation, we've spent our lives being gracious, helpful, loving, as much as we can to the best of our ability. But lately what's happened is they've started calling me a deplorable person. And yet I have to sit here and I have to let it pass. Because of my stance politically, I'm labeled a racist. But I have to sit here and I have to let it pass. I'm labeled an old stock European, no longer wanted, and I have to sit here and let it pass. All media is complicit in lying to us on a daily basis, and I have to sit here and let it pass. I'm called a white supremacist Nazi, and I have to let it pass. We watch fellow supporters, Barry, you and I, get gunned down in the streets, attacked viciously with hammers and bricks, and we must let it pass. We are wrongfully called the antagonist, and we must let it pass. But the days are coming to a close where some may no longer let it pass. Right?
Well said.
I think the days are done. You look at, I listened to a really, people need to look this up. Susan Stanfield had an amazing video, came out yesterday, about genocide, and she talked about the medical tyranny here in Canada and how we need to pay closer attention to what genocide really is. And she gave some.
Well, there you go again. They blipped them.
Yeah, you get a little bit of a.
They blipped them again.
Skype hiccup there, or internet hiccup, or something.
They're blipping them. They're blipping them, folks. They want to hear that. So we'll wait. Give them a 3 seconds here. They unblip them. Are you back yet, Jürgen?
Which one? Hello?
You. Yeah, you blipped you again, buddy. As soon as you said trigger word genocide, as soon as you said that, the algorithms went crazy and they blipped you.
No kidding.
You see that, folks? That was real-time censorship by the people running the organizations outside. You know, you guys that are – let me just say something real quick, Jürgen, and then I'll get you to continue. But you guys that are listening to the show right now, and I've said it to you many times, you really got to do a little soul searching, because you guys think you've got a ticket to the big party, but you don't. You're just two rungs up the ladder from me and Jürgen. So when the time comes and you think you're going to the big party, you're going to have a rude awakening. So maybe you better have a look in the mirror, you guys over there that are blipping Jürgen every time he hits that algorithm, and have a good talk to yourself, because you really are deceiving yourself. And I'll leave it at that. Jürgen, go ahead. You said genocide. And let's continue and see if they blipped you again. Go ahead.
Wow. It's just really... Yeah, we talked about this so long ago. Look, it's happening in real time right in front of our face. It's absolutely amazing. Hi, everybody that's listening in.
Yeah. We gotta make them feel welcome.
Jesus, you guys are so cute. Look at you trying to be like the real CIA. Oh my gosh, you're so cute. Look at you, so cute wearing CIA outfits. Oh my gosh. Can I get you to come into my home? Can I get you dinner? Would you like to come over for a dinner sometime? No, I'd just like to tell you that are listening, I'm a free human being. And as a free human being, I'm allowed to go about my life the way I see fit. And I'm sorry, but if you think that social distancing is a good idea for the next few years, and you think that being microchipped is a good idea for all of humanity, I'm not going to give that point of view any of my energy whatsoever. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. That's your sovereign right. If you want to avoid large crowds, avoid large crowds. But you know what? I'm not required to descend into poverty for you. I'm not required to abstain from human contact for you. I refuse to participate in quarantine life until there's an unsafe, untested vaccine released in 18 months. I refuse to receive a vaccine to make others feel more safe, because that's my sovereign right to choose. If you're convinced a vaccine is safe and effective, you can get it yourself. Have at her. Some of you are allowing fear and policies devoid of scientifically accurate data to destroy the country you live in and ruin your life. We have a constitutional right to take risks. Life is full of bacteria and viruses, many of which spread before symptoms manifest and after they subside. We have a sovereign right to receive or refuse vaccines. The data was inaccurate at best that we've been getting, purposely overblown to justify government overreaction at worst. So stop allowing the government to destroy the food supply. Stop allowing the government to destroy small businesses, medical autonomy, access to health care, mass gatherings, privacy rights, our mental health and freedom. When the new normal is filled with starvation, depression, suicide, child abuse, domestic violence, imprisonment, government spying, and pure desperation, the virus is going to look way preferable to the world you help facilitate. I'm going to turn this around on people from now on. Those who say I'm putting money over lives by wanting the country back open for business, hear this. You don't care about people who kill themselves out of hopelessness. You don't care about small businesses that'll close their doors, their livelihood, permanently. You don't care about the women, children, and men who will be victims of domestic abuse. You don't care about people defaulting on their mortgages. You also don't care about bills going unpaid by families with zero income right now. You also don't care about people wondering where their next meal will come from. You don't care about the people who will lose their sobriety and slip back into alcoholism. You don't care about the people who are going to starve. You support the inevitable looting that'll take place. You don't care about anyone who's murdered. The longer the shutdown goes on, you don't care about people's mental health. You don't care about the children who do need teachers and educators to guild and educate them. You don't care about the economy crashing down around us. You just simply don't care. You love your shackles, begging your leaders for more shutdown and more regulations and more handouts as you receive a steady paycheck. I will not tolerate another person telling me that I don't care about lives. I care about the situation in its entirety, but you don't care about any of that. So you go ahead and stay home. You go ahead and wear a mask. Please continue to live in fear. I, on the other hand, will not, as it is my sovereign right to choose not to. That's it. That's all. Thank you very much.
Very, very well said, Jurgen, and I couldn't agree with you more. But we see what's happened to society just in the last year. It just boggles my mind. But
yeah,
like I've said, we've said this on many shows, Jurgen, that they have, and it doesn't appear on the surface like they have, but they have been conditioning us for years to unleash this on society. They got the initial reaction they wanted, and yeah, now they're drunk with power, and if people think for 1 second that this is ever going to go back to normal, I really hate to rain on your parade. The only way this is ever going to go back to some semblance of order is if the masses rise and stand up and say no, because if we do that, they will back down. But until we get to that point, Jurgen, where people are directly affected in multiple ways in their own life, and there's no denying what's coming at them, I'm scared to say that most Canadians won't do anything until we get to that point. And I've said it many times, I fear when it gets to that point, it might just be too late. One other thing that, you know, I had a conversation with Roger Landry. I'm not trying to change subjects here at all, but I had a little talk with Roger here this morning, and we've been talking quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, given what's going on in the United States. And tell you, my friend, Roger said to me, guys, like, let's put it this way. I've been talking to Roger for many, many years. And when he kind of says to me that there's going to be real crazy stuff going on here in the next couple, 3 weeks that might just shake the world to the core, I kind of listen to what he's saying. And that was the gist of the conversation. Of course, I'm talking about what's going on right now in the United States of America, the cascades of evidence given. I don't care if you hate Trump or like Trump. I don't care if you hate Biden or like him. What we're dealing with down there right now is one of the greatest attacks on freedom ever perpetrated in the world. And if it's allowed to go forward, we will have no freedom, period. So like him or hate him, right now, the right side of this has to go forward. It has to. And I've looked at the cascades of evidence coming forward. Like I said, this isn't about Trump. This is about right and wrong, law and order. And Roger just said this could be some pretty interesting things going on here in the next couple of weeks. I'm watching everything going on with it right now, Jurgen. And what's your thoughts on what's going on down there right now? Where do you think it's going, my friend?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's one of the things that I follow 24/7. I love American politics. I have always been a champion of the American Constitution. I think it's one of the best documents that's ever been written, if you cherish freedom. I've always hoped and prayed that Canada would take on a constitution like the Americans have, that ensure your right to liberty, life, and the pursuit of happiness, right? So I watch it right now, and I gotta tell you, I am just absolutely blown away by the level of corruption that is happening there. And for anyone to think there is no election fraud, just hold on to your hats, because you are going to be blown away by the results of the investigations that are going on right now. Mm-hmm. People have no concept of the amount of people that are working on the sidelines privately to help President Trump to make sure that the American system gets back to having integral voting. This has been going on for years. I don't know if you know it, but in 2012, when Romney was going up against Obama, President Trump tweeted out that Obama is flipping votes in certain states. So this is not a surprise. President Trump has known about this all along. I think he's been setting traps ever since he won his first election. I think every liberal has fallen into the traps because they've completely underestimated the man's psyche, that the man's intelligence. Right from day one, they have come after this guy thinking that he's stupid, and that's the biggest mistake they've made, because he is far from stupid. He's a very, very cunning businessman who knows the system. And I'll tell you what, as a former businessman myself, having worked in the city of Ottawa, and having had contracts with the federal government, with the provincial government, with the city of Ottawa, when we rolled and we had many, many contracts with government agencies, I can tell you that as an outsider looking in and dealing with these government agencies, you can see where the corruption is. You can see where the money is being siphoned, because you're winning these contracts and you're laughing because you're making the money. But at the same time, you're thinking to yourself, how does this system get so corrupt that these people will take anything as advice? You know, I've seen so many times where in the city of Ottawa, for example, they'll I know there was a school they bought, the Grant School, I think it was called. They bought the thing for $5 million and then sold it for $1 million, and they were so proud of themselves. Mm-hmm. That's their idea of making money. And so, you know, an outsider like Donald Trump comes along and stirs the whole thing up. I just love it. I've always said to myself, here in Canada, we need more plumbers and electricians on Parliament Hill than lawyers. We are inundated with lawyers. We got way too many of them. We need them out. We need more blue-collar guys and gals in the House of Commons. And the biggest thing we need to do, of course, is to stop this de facto government from operating altogether. That's for sure. But down in the States, I'm totally confident. I think Sidney Powell is going to blow the doors off things. I think you're going to see some states like California flip. I think it's going to go red. I think you're going to see probably close to 400 electoral college votes for Donald Trump when the dust settles. That's my thought. That's where I'm at. You know, when you look at the entire campaign of Joe Biden, right from the very start, he stayed in his basement. He had lids for a week. He would announce on a Monday, okay, I spoke for half an hour. I didn't answer any questions, but now there's a lid on for a week. They knew what was going on. They knew they had these machines. And then you listen to Eric Coomer, his interviews, the Dominion guy, interviewed before the election, saying, don't worry about it. There's no way Trump's going to win. I mean, this Eric Coomer guy should be in front of a Senate Congress hearing right now. This guy needs to go to jail big time. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be thousands of them going to jail, as far as I'm concerned. I think these crooked voting systems that they've got in Detroit and Philadelphia, they're all being found out now, and they're all going to go to jail.
Well, I've never seen anything like this in my life, but take Trump out of the equation for a second. This isn't about Trump. This isn't about Biden. This is about the rule of law. So whether you like Trump or not, and I know I myself with Trump, Jurgen, I've said it many, many times that I have to stay outside the box. Okay. But to say that we don't have a choice right now, if this election was allowed to go forward with Joe Biden, then our world, and I'm going to say this without a shadow of a doubt, in 2 years, we wouldn't recognize this world in any shape or form, because they would have free reign to bring in every agenda they want, and there would be no pushback. At least now we have a perceived pushback against it by a gentleman that is actually speaking the truth. Now, whether that is a giant psyop, Jurgen, that's a question I don't have. I don't have an answer to, honestly don't, but I do have to stay, I just have to stay outside the box and watch. But right now, if this was allowed to go forward, society and freedom would be gone, and I think I'm pretty accurate in saying that, am I not?
You're totally, absolutely right. And what this has done, this election has done, is it's shown people around the world what they've been doing to us. How many of these machines have been put in place? In our voting systems. When you look at Hugo Chavez and Maduro down in Venezuela, what they've done to that country, right?
Yeah.
So now Sidney Powell has a Venezuelan whistleblower, a high-ranking guy who's going to testify about how those systems got Chavez his reign of power. So I think that's all going to come out, and I think you're going to see that these voting machines have been used all over the world, and I think we're going to be questioning elections in every single country on the planet after this is over. A lot of world leaders will be going to jail, too.
Well, there's also one of the most renowned cyber experts in the world testifying on behalf of the Republicans now, and this person is going to blow it wide open. My friend Roger shared that with me yesterday, and he says when the smoke clears here in the next couple weeks, people's mouths are going to be right down to their floor because they are going to be fully exposing this. So we got to talk about what the possible scenario, if this goes down the way we think it's going to go down here in the next couple weeks, what's the possible scenario for outbreaks and what's their plan? Because they're well aware, I'm sure the demo rats right now are well aware that their house of cards is about to fall. I'm sure they're aware of that. So what's your plan? What do you think going forward here? What's going to happen in the next couple of weeks when this does happen? Is it all part of a plan? What do you think, Jürgen? Am I way out in space?
No, you're not. Yeah, something is definitely going to break. I mean, there's no winning here. There's no winning here. If Trump is called president, the left will go nuts. If Biden's called president, the right will go nuts. So either way, there's no winning. There's no winning for the people. Other than what may happen here, and this is my hope and my prayer on a daily basis, is that so many people will finally come to the realization that, yes, we have been lied to, and we have been lied to on a massive scale by the media for such a long, long time. I know it's difficult for people to get their head around that, but I'm going to go with that on a positive, spin. I really believe that this whole thing is designed to get people awake. It's to get people aware. And, you know, I like Guy had said earlier, I fear for Canada because we're not the Americans. We have a totally different spin. We have CBC that had brainwashed people now for 70 some years. So we don't have that entrepreneurial type of spirit that the Americans have to fight. That has kind of been taken out of us because we've been told that we're just kind of this soft, I'm sorry, apologetic kind of nation that just is just happy to go along to get along. You know, the world is a dangerous place, but we here, we're safe and snuggled and cuddled up in our northern blanket of snow. So we have this kind of a I guess it's almost like a complex of inferiority. We feel strong and everything with our resources, but we're basically laid back and say that, you know, we'll let all the other people talk big. We'll pretend to talk big, but we really are nothing. Canada is such a small country. You think about it. California has more people than we do. So, and that's the biggest problem that we have. We're so spread out. How do we get us together? How do we get Canada together? It's so huge, right? It's one of the biggest problems that we face here is weather and size. It's just hard to manage, right? Mm.
Well, geographically, of course, all the populations are in very, very small areas of Canada. And the rest of it's a person here and a person there, and you're absolutely correct. And they're working that against us in multiple ways right now. You're going to know it's really hard, like you said, for people to get together and stand up. And when they take the internet down, we're really going to be in a pickle, aren't we? And everything you said in the last 10 minutes, one of my guests from the first hour has been sitting in here listening to us talk for the last little bit. And if you wanted to make a quick comment, Jay, I'd let you jump in for a second. If not, we're down to about 10 minutes. I'm sure that'll go really quick, but I know he's been sitting listening to you. And if he wants to make a quick comment, I'll give him a chance. And if Steve wants to make a quick comment, I'll give him a chance. If not, we'll just continue on, Jürgen.
How's it going, Jürgen, there? Everything you said, I mean, you say everything so eloquently, it just blows my mind because, I mean, I haven't heard anybody that can put it together as good as you in a sentence, and it makes sense that people can't deny the fact of what it is. And there's just, that's the thing. There's so many facets to what's going on in the globe right now. And, I mean, it's overwhelming, and I understand it. Unless you've been in it like all of us for years and been analyzing things from every different facet, it's hard to understand it. But when you get somebody as eloquent as Jürgen in here that could put it together, it all makes sense that anybody can understand it. So I applaud you for everything you've started, and you started before me with a lot of the protests. I'll never forget the day that I seen your video with you in the back of the truck. I think everybody is
blown
away from that very first speech.
Well, thanks so much, Jay. I really appreciate that. You know, it's really comforting for me. For years, I've been waiting for younger folks to take up the reins and to sort of relieve me being on the front lines, because I felt like I've been a frontline soldier probably for most of my life. And I've been waiting for the last 20 years for younger troops to come and replace me. And I am so proud to see that I've been able to stir up a little bit in some young people. It makes me feel so good to see the young soldiers like yourself coming up and fighting for our freedoms that has to be done. It has to be done. We have to take up that mantle. We have to show them that we are the boss. And for you and other fellows, I just love it. I'm glad to see it. I see the Pat Kings and the Mark Friesens and, you know, the Laura Lynn Thompson. I see all of this, all these younger people. You know, I'm 71 years old, and to see this happening, it gives me hope for my grandchildren that there are people that are taking up the mantle, that need to take up the mantle of the fight that I've been involved in for so long. And I'm just happy to see that there are people here that are coming up and taking the mantle. I'm so proud of you guys. By the way, Jay, congratulations on your victory as a mayor. That's freaking awesome. That's where it starts. I'm proud of you.
That's right. I mean, I had thought about running prior to all this stuff, and the timing wasn't right. I kind of had to get, you know, doing with the convoy and everything else. I just had to get my place in all of this. And it's probably a good thing because I learned so much about what I hate. Now that I know that in the position that I'm in, I can try and stop some of this from happening at the municipal level. I'm hoping that's what we can do, right?
That's where it starts. Right. That's where it has to start. You know, when my battles were always with the municipal level. When I fought the windmills coming in North Stormont, the day that they announced that they were coming, I was on my horse and I was at the municipal meetings. And I got, you know, nobody listened to me. Everybody thought I was crazy. You know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. Of course, now they built them all there. I'm so glad I moved. That was so many years ago. But you're right. I learned back then when they told me that the Green Energy and Economy Act superseded any municipal acts that they had. In other words, the municipal mayor told me that they had absolutely no power. It was all in Ontario. It was all in Toronto. And no matter that 95% of us voted against the windmills, they're coming anyways. We don't care what you people think. So that little mayor had no power whatsoever. He was under the thumb of the UN mandate of the Green Energy and Economy Act. There's nothing he could do. So I'm hoping that you can turn that around and other mayors start to stand up to this stuff, because that's what it's going to take, for sure.
Yeah, and if that mayor had 10 mayors standing with him, Jürgen, it would have been quashed.
Yeah, well, that's it, right?
Go ahead. I'll let you have a last comment there. Jay, and then we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show. So last comment and where people can find you. And then you're going to have a couple minutes and I'll have to shut the show up, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just want to say that, you know, I'm fighting for carbon capture. Esteban is the first of its kind on the planet for carbon capture. They spent $1.4 billion on it to clean up the coal. And this is what I've been fighting for since the beginning. So yeah, if anybody wants to find me, I have a YouTube page. It's called Freedom Media Canada. And I also have a Facebook page. It's called Freedom Media, too. It's all one word, Freedom and Media, 1M in it. And that's pretty much where I've been doing a lot of my stuff. And we have lots of people posting and stuff. And, yeah, we're just trying to get the information out there. And the more people that join and share this information, the smarter everybody gets through it.
Well, thanks for coming in today, Jay. And, Jürgen, I'm going to let you have a couple thoughts here for a couple minutes before I have to shut this show up for today.
Well, what I can say is COVID is fake. Elections are rigged. Vaccinations are the first step to making humans transhumans. Nothing in the news is real. History, as we know it, needs to be rewritten. Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, they're all the same party with different names. NASA was created by Nazis, whether you want to believe it or not. You know, we are living in a medical and enforced medical tyranny. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we can get out of it. We are not living in a parliamentary democracy right now. And that's something that we really, really need to focus on. And one more thing. I don't know if you saw the story or not, Barry, but down in Venezuela, there was a fire in a building where thousands of voting machines got burned. Did you see that?
I saw that. Imagine that. That's just a coincidence.
What there a coincidence, goes. Huh?
What another coincidence.
I know. Coincidences.
It just happened.
Almost 50,000 voting machines and 582 computers.
Just after the hammer starts. Nothing to see there, folks. Nothing to see at all.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Barry.
Well, Jürgen, you know, it's a pleasure having you on, as always, buddy. And I really hope that we can do this on a kind of a semi-regular basis if you grant me time going forward. You're one of my favorite people to talk with. Your passion and your love for this country is hard to match. So all I can say is thank you for what you're doing. And share real quickly, where can people find you, Jürgen? Your radio show, your station? Yeah, and tell them a little bit where they can find you on social so they can follow you.
Yeah, you can join me on Parler right now. It's Volrath House. That's all one word, my last name, and then house added to it on Parler. And on Twitter, you can get me at Prairie Patriot. And, of course, on Facebook, my news page, Against the Grain, News You're Not Supposed to Know. Make sure if you hit me up there that you answer the question. Otherwise, I don't let you in. You got to answer the question. And not a yes, not a one-question answer. Just answer the question. I want intelligence on my page.
We're all going that way right now. I know everybody's switching right now because of the censorship. So the sooner we get over there, we start getting the masses over there, the sooner we can tell face crooks to go to hell. Excuse my language. But that's what we need to be told. Yeah. And, you know, there was actually other things here. I was going to ask you a couple other questions today, Jürgen, but we have run out of time. So there is so much going on right now, and I love your input and the way you see things going on. I'm going to add to what Jay says. You articulate your speech very well, and I really enjoy having you on. So hopefully we can do this in the very near future again. Thanks again for joining me today, buddy. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Barry. We'll talk to you soon, my friend. All the best. God bless everybody.
Well, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your power and your might and for bringing me together with good people and the love you share. I want to thank you today for the people listening, and I pray that you wrap everybody in their mighty arms going forward. Amen. I want to thank Steve Roberts for producing my show. I want to thank people for joining in and listening today. I hope we've brought some stuff forward that might just get you busy and really get you off the couch and take a stand for what's going on. Our freedoms will be taken away, and we're going to have none very soon. If that doesn't terrify you, I don't know what else to do to get you motivated. So I really hope you do what we are asking you to get involved. It's never been a more important time in human history. Thanks again for joining me this week. I'll be back next week. I am going to be doing 3 hours. I originally had 3 hours scheduled for today. So next week I have 3 incredible hours lined up for you. Please join me then. I'll see you next week, same time, same place. God bless you all. Have a great week. Bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.